Step 2. As we move through the different phases of life, our financial plans and goals change. If it's been a while since your last financial checkup, or you are ready for those first steps, MFB Wealth Management is here to serve you. MFB stands for My Father's Business from Luke 2:49. We work with many believers like you to get their financial house in order.
Call MFB Wealth Management at 215-723-8999 or visit us on the web at mfbwm.com to schedule your free personal meeting.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999 for solid biblical financial planning. MFBWM.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Are you discouraged and perhaps even paralyzed about how to respond to public corruption, broken families, and daily threats of terror? And are you tired of people complaining but hearing no authentic solutions? Do you wonder if there's hope for America? A biblical roadmap for renewal will bring you that hope. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I want to urge you to attend the one-day Pennsylvania Pastors Network U-Turn Conference on March 19th at Lancaster Bible College. This powerful program will equip pastors, church leaders, and concerned Americans to know the truth, stand in the gap to defend it, and to take action now. Join me, along with Christian historian David Barton of Wall Builders, researcher George Barna, pilot and author Steve Scheibner, and many others. Don't miss this powerful event on March 19th at Lancaster Bible College. God is raising up a remnant in America for this time. Are you part of that remnant? Come to the U-Turn Conference and find out. Go to uturnconference.org and register today to receive early bird and group rates. That's uturnconference.org.
This morning, Wednesday, February 11th, and our guest in the studio with us is Elijah Platchek, who is the elementary principal at Westmont Christian School in Pottstown. He's been sharing with us about some facts about the school, but now I'd like him to share with us a project that's dear to his heart called Schools Loving Schools. Elijah, can you explain that to us, please?
Yes, over the years of working in the missions program at Westmont Christian Academy, it's been on our hearts at Westmont to find a more sustainable mission, to find a mission that we can continually pour into and build. And I had a friend, Michelle Cochamelio, who went to Africa the year after she graduated high school at Westmont to work there. And she ended up becoming a teacher in their schools. And I spoke with her about that, and she shared the need for real training and real purpose in schools, both abroad and in the urban setting in America. And so my heart and my passion over the last year and a half is to create a new ministry where a school will pour into another school, not just finances, you know, supplies, teacher training, prayer, and just work together with the school and make sure that the school has the opportunity to educate the students the very best they can. And so from that, I launched Schools Loving Schools, which is something that any school can be a part of. There's no cost to it, you know. There's no overhead, you know. If anyone's interested in Schools Loving Schools, or you know of a school that's interested in reaching out and helping another school, please just go ahead and contact us through Facebook and Schools Loving Schools on Facebook. And, you know, finding a way to share your mission and your school with another school. We have been working with Praying Pelican Missions, which is based out of Minnesota. And Praying Pelican Missions is an organization that will organize a safe, secure missions trip for any organization, medical missions, school missions, or just church missions, youth group missions. But their goal is to build genuine partnerships and sustainable ministry as well. You know, they understand that a group coming in for a week or 2 weeks is not going to change the world, but pouring into the local churches and the local schools in those areas, that's what's going to make a difference. And so partnering with Praying Pelican Missions has been something that I'm very happy and thankful for. And Schools Loving Schools has currently run two trips, one with Westmont Christian Academy and one with Dayspring Christian Academy from Greenlee, Colorado, down to Guatemala, and we're partnering with New Hope Christian School down there and assisting them in training their children to know the truth of the Bible in the impoverished country of Guatemala.
That's wonderful. As important as anything else is the sharing of ideas and encouragement, just to let people know they're not alone. And ideas are so important, especially when it comes to teaching and to schools and just how to do things. I'm sure that that's an encouragement to them.
Yeah, one of the things that I found when I was looking for various missions for educators or for teachers was that you would go and spend a year or two in a foreign country and you would come home. But again, I wanted to build that sustainability. And so seeing how teachers in America get together, we have various conferences and you know, conventions where we get together and we share ideas and teachers come back from that so excited. I know the elementary school teachers that I work with at Westmont always come back from those, you know, refreshed and ready to do new things and challenge their students in new ways. And I wanted to offer that to other schools that might not have those opportunities all the time. And so that is another part of where Schools Loving Schools becomes very important, the sharing of ideas and just seeing that another teacher is praying for you and supporting you.
That's truly wonderful. Are there special stories that you can recall?
Oh, yes.
That have been very memorable?
Very memorable stories. You know, we were working with New Hope Christian School, which is in Guatemala City. So it's Colegio Evangelico Nueva Esperanza. And working with them, we met with the principal through Praying Pelican. They set up the trip first for us. And when we told the principal we were coming to work with the school, you know, she wept. And you know, the reason she wept was because she said, well, people come to work for churches, which is wonderful. People come to work in the hospitals, which is great. No one helps the schools.
Oh.
And so I'm getting a little choked up just thinking of it.
Yeah.
But the importance of that made it known to me that this is what God wanted me to do.
It's wonderful. It's so important. And that's it just brings out the fact that God's work can be done in all areas of life, wherever we're called. And your mission as a teacher is a holy calling. It's truly a holy one. Can you tell us what Praying Pelican Missions means? Where did that name come from? Do you know?
Praying Pelican Missions, I just started being an assistant trip leader with them in January. I've been on several trips with them. And from what I know is that they were formed from two brothers that took a missions trip and knew that this was what they wanted to do. And they wanted to provide this opportunity as well for other churches and people and schools. There's a lot of misconceptions about short-term missions in that, you know, people will go and feel some type of hero syndrome or some type of you know, you shouldn't be spending this much money on a short-term trip. However, Praying Pelican Missions, again, they work with sustainable ministry, which means they're pouring into the same churches and the same pastors over and over in these countries. And the story that completely negates the idea that we shouldn't spend this much money on foreign trips just for a week or two. In January, we were speaking with the pastor down there in Guatemala, Pastor Rogelio, and he said, we asked him, would you rather have us in your home working with you, or would you rather have the $70,000 it costs to get us here? And if you translate that, that's almost $500,000 mm-hmm. in quetzales in Guatemala. And he said, I want you here.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, just allowing, again, the partnerships and the people to
the
know
support.
We're
support,
here for you. We're praying for you.
Humans.
And
that's what
really huge.
And that's what Schools Loving Schools is. That's what Praying Pelican Missions
is.
And Westmont Christian Academy is just a small part of that. And you know, coming together as the body of Christ is so important.
We can see and feel your passion for this project and know that it's something you're called to do. And it's amazing how much can be done with so little.
Yes.
And we hope and pray that the word will get out across the airwaves here this morning, and other people will feel free to contact you and help in any way that they can. Again, we're talking with Elijah Platchek, who is the principal at Westmont Christian Academy in Pottstown.
Right.
And they're doing wonderful work there with the children locally and also with outreach across the world, especially in Guatemala, as Elijah has just been describing. In the couple of minutes we have left, Elijah, is there anything else that you would like the listeners, anything in particular you would like to share with them or want them to know about this work?
Yeah, I just, you know, I would just really ask for prayer support, you know. As we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, that, you know, the family of Christ needs to be unified. Mm-hmm. And, you know, separating us and pulling us apart is not where Christ wants us to be.
Exactly.
You know, in John 17, when Jesus prays for us, he prays that we would all be one. And I think that's the key. So
Amen.
Just prayer support would be
Amen.
Extremely
Thank you.
Successful.
Thank you. And people can go to your website, which is www.westmont.org, and find out more about the school. We thank you, Elijah, for what you're doing. It's a pleasure and an honor to meet you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
WFYL. Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The air campaign against Islamic State terrorists does not seem to be hurting recruitment.
As many as 150 Americans have tried, some with success, to reach the Syrian war zone. That assessment from counterterror officials testifying at the House Homeland Security Committee. In testimony obtained by the Associated Press, officials will say the rate of foreign fighters getting to Syria, 3,400 from Western nations, 20,000 from around the globe, is exceeding anything ever seen before.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern. A man suspected of shooting a San Diego sportscaster has surrendered after a standoff with police. They have not said why Mike Montana may have shot Kyle Kraska in his car outside his home. He had surgery and is expected to recover.
I heard like three shots, boom, 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 and then another six, boom, 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 boom.
That's a neighbor of Kyle Kraska's who heard the shooting yesterday afternoon. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. So call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. How much can you save? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $35,000? So don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 800-98-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 800-98-STEEL.
That's 800-98-STEEL.
Don't spend thousands more than you should. Call 800-987-8335.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. The Quicken Loans PMI Advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6:11 to put on the complete armor of God. While God's designed the perfect armor for the believer, we must do two things. First, understand that we can't win the spiritual battle on our own. And second, we must intentionally put on the armor, every piece. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network. The Christian life can be a victorious life. After all, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. But this life is all about the engagement with the powers of darkness. It's a wrestling match, an ongoing daily competition. It's about the great struggle between Satan, the great deceiver, and God Himself, who is the truth. And God's commissioned every believer to be His ambassadors and soldiers in this fight. The apostle starts by saying, "Have your loins girt about with truth." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that the first place to start is by putting on the truth, who is Jesus Christ. Have you put on Jesus Christ today? Are you walking in the truth?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to New Day here on Wednesday, February 11th. We're so pleased to have you with us this morning. And we're also very pleased to welcome our next guest, actually to welcome him back. It's John Emmons, who is president of Faith and Freedom Coalition of Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Allison, live in southwest Chester County and have three children. He was here before talking with us about the work of Faith and Freedom Coalition. Welcome, John.
Welcome, Susan. That's great to be here again.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you calling in this morning. Can you tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself? I'm not sure we covered that last time. You're a chemical engineer by training, right?
Well, yes, by education. I'm actually a New York State boy. I grew up in the rural area of New York State on a small farm and went to school for chemical engineering. And then in 1980, moved to Pennsylvania, the Lancaster area, and have worked in the manufacturing flooring business for 35 years up until the end of the last year. And so half of my career was with Armstrong in Lancaster, and then the second half of my career was with Bannington Mills in Salem, New Jersey.
Very good. And what was it that drew you into the work you're doing now with the Faith and Freedom Coalition?
Well, it was the culmination of a long journey. In fact, there's still much of the journey left to go. But I've always been one to be very cognizant of current affairs and issues that are going on. And being raised in the Presbyterian Church from the time I was probably 4 years old, I was always fascinated with what made things tick and why do people behave the way they do. And, you know, given what we were taught in church, why don't people behave better if they would just listen to what our pastor is saying and do what the pastor is recommending, then the world would be a much better place. So having that as a foundation as a youngster, as things have progressed through time, watching the transition from the Ronald Reagan years on through the Clinton years and then the George Bush years, I became more and more frustrated. That led to me in 2008 deciding that I could no longer depend on my elected representatives to do what I felt was right, and I felt that I had to get involved. So I began to organize a grassroots group. But that became I'll say empty because we had not involved the Lord in that. And so as we continued to work, we began to work with a group in Delaware who was affiliated with Faith and Freedom, and it just dawned on us that this is really the path we need to go, is to bring faith and bring Lord into our work. So we recognized about 18 months ago that Pennsylvania did not have a Faith and Freedom affiliate. So we worked with them, and last April or May actually became the Pennsylvania affiliate.
That's great. So it's really relatively new, but you've seen remarkable growth. Putting the Lord at the center of it has made a difference, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you became a Pennsylvania affiliate last year, and can you tell, just go over briefly again, you shared last time a little bit, but some of the results you've seen, what has happened in this brief time?
Well, what we've been doing is reaching out to people of faith in general. What we are attempting to do is to try to reach in, especially to the leaders of the churches, because we believe so strongly that's where the truth lies, and it needs to be the church leaders who literally every Sunday are teaching and preaching to their flocks. And one of the primary messages that we're trying to help them with is the whole issue around dualism. And what I mean by that is that there's a cancer in the country today that has been growing for well over 100 years. And that cancer is that you should not be involved in religion and civic matters at the same time, that those are two separate camps. And in fact, some people would call it separation of church and state, actually the opposite is true.
Exactly.
It is actually our responsibilities as Christians and people of faith to be engaged and to actually have dual citizenship, which means, yes, we need to be a citizen of heaven, but we also need to be a citizen of earth. And what we're trying to do is to help people understand biblically why that is so and how that comes from the authority of God and so forth, and that's our responsibility. So that's what we're trying to do. So we reach out to people and help, talk with them and help them understand that. And what we've seen is there has been a movement in that direction, and that's greatly aided by other people who are also involved in this cause, the likes of Sam Rohr and other people in other states. There is a movement, a very definite movement that is happening now, and in Pennsylvania, we're working arm in arm with Sam so that we're reinforcing each other as opposed to in some way working against each other. So we are reaching more and more people, and I'll give you an example of how this works. So back in January, we were invited to a group meeting in Lebanon, and Pennsylvania is a big state, so we have to go quite a distance to cover it. But we went and presented Faith and Freedom's message in Lebanon. And then several weeks ago, I received a call from a pastor from a church near Fort Indian Town Gap. One of his folks had been at this meeting and went back to the church and had basically delivered the message back and said, we need to talk to these folks. Mm-hmm. And the pastor invited us to come to his church to help the folks in the church understand what to do next. And I kind of thought that was unique, because I said, well, do you want us to tell you the what or the why? Mm-hmm. Because most churches are trying to understand why we need to do this. And they said, no, we're ready. So he has invited us to come up, and it's not just a meeting with a church. He wants us to present on Sunday morning to his congregation of more than 300 people as to how people can get more engaged and what they can do to be more effective citizens. So that's just an example of how powerful this is, and this is spreading by the relationships that we build. It is emanating out of the Southeast into other counties. And, we're seeing some very consistent, very organic growth with this.
That exciting.
Yes, very much so.
It's so exciting. It's such an answer to prayer. It's very exciting. We're thrilled to hear that. It's amazing how word does spread, and the time seems to be right for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons we really are so grateful that you're able to come back to share to share the information and let people know so that they will know how to contact you. Again, we are speaking with John Emmons, who is the president of Faith and Freedom Coalition of Pennsylvania. You can go to their website, Faith and Freedom, FFCoalition.com, to find out more information. And I wonder if you can just share a little bit more, John, about the successes you've seen over this last year. I think Al has a question. Excuse me.
I just wanted Susan to relate the banquet she attended.
The breakfast.
Breakfast. Perhaps there's another breakfast coming up. How many people were there, Susan, roughly?
Well, John would know. You said 150 or so people?
Yeah, we had 155 at the breakfast on November 8th.
It's outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we do have another one coming up. This one is going to be even more exciting. As we reach out regionally, our next breakfast is going to be on March 28th, and it's going to be held at the Calvary Church in Montgomery County up in Souderton.
Wonderful.
And that's our area.
We'll be able to accommodate roughly 200 people, and we're going to have two speakers there, one of which will be Sam Rohr, and the other will be Pastor David Carey, who we've met recently, and both will be speaking on different aspects of this concept that I've referred to as dualism. So it should be a very enlightening and inspirational message that they're providing. So that's all coming together very nicely. And people can go to the website at the ffc-pa.com. Beginning next week, and get information and links to the ticketing process. The breakfast will be free. What we do is we ask for a goodwill offering at the end, but the breakfast is free. So we hope to. The previous one we had ended up turning people away. So I suspect we will be in the same situation this time, but. That's great. We want to fill the room up and have helped spread the word and help start to make an imprint on Montgomery County. And actually, as you mentioned, that brought something else to mind, that the way this is growing, we received a call yesterday from an individual in Montgomery County who wants to serve as the county coordinator.
Marvelous.
And ultimately, that's where we want to be, is where we have one or more people in every county who are working with the churches and other people of faith within the county to help build the network and to help with the whole communication process of getting the communication and information out to them.
Wonderful. Well, John,
we
have to head to a break right now. We'd like to pick up right there when we come back. Can you join us again after the break?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed. Different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Before coming to head this organization, I worked in television news, both at the local and network levels, and I remember a joke line I'd often hear in the newsroom. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. It was truly meant as a joke because we all understood our duty to unflinchingly report the facts and not embellish them to make for a more compelling but ultimately untrue story. So with the stunning revelation that NBC Nightly News anchor Brian Williams lied about being on an Army helicopter that took enemy fire while he was covering the Iraq War, he becomes the joke. There should be consequences for failing such an important duty to be truthful, but there are definitely consequences for these outright lies, further distrust of the mainstream media. Morality and ethics truly do matter. We need to fight for a return to integrity in the media and in government. The Pennsylvania Family Institute website is pafamily.org.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
WFYL. It is Wednesday, February 11th, and you just heard Michael Gere of Pennsylvania Family Institute talk about the need for honesty and integrity in government. We're speaking with John Emmons, who is the president of Faith and Family Coalition of Pennsylvania, located in Chester County. He has just been explaining to us that the work is spreading into Montgomery County. John, welcome back. We're so happy to have you with us here this morning.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to be here.
And congratulations.
And that was a wonderful ad for Common Core.
yes, it is. Common Core, yeah. And also Pennsylvania Family Institute. Yeah. All of these things dovetail together, and you're not alone, I guess.
Right. Right.
And it's nice for all of us to know we're not alone.
Yes. Susan, that was one of the things I wanted to mention this morning while we still have time, was that the work that we're doing, it all comes down to engagement and the importance of people being engaged. I wanted to give just a couple examples because it is 2015, and the importance of people holding local offices. I'll just give you a couple quick examples that maybe your listeners will really identify with. Two of the examples are one is the school board. And I think it's probably intuitively obvious to everyone why the school boards are so important. But when you step back and you think about it, school boards typically are made up of 9 people. So what that really means is that 5 people, which represents the majority, really have the power to decide what is going to happen in a school district. When you stop and think about that, that means all aspects of the curriculum that our kids and grandkids are being taught, going back to that Common Core commercial, they ultimately will decide whether or not that curriculum is allowed in the school and so forth. Then beyond that, those same 5 people also have the taxing authority around property taxes for that school district.
Right.
So those 5 people really have a huge amount of power. And yet what we see across the state is that it's very difficult to find people to run for school board.
Yes.
But that's where that engagement is needed. And then another example would be township supervisors. In most cases, we're talking about 3 to 5 people on a board, which then means the majority is represented by either 2 or 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those folks have the responsibility to make decisions around development of the townships and the land use associated with that. These are the guys that end up either fighting or accepting various directions from higher authorities, such as the county, the state, or even in some cases the federal group. And yet they also have taxing authority. So here you're talking again about a very small group of 2 or 3 engaged individuals,
right,
who can have a huge impact on our local goings-on and ultimately our life. So those are 2 examples. And one reason I mention those is those positions come up for election in the odd years.
Okay.
So here in 2015, we're just about to enter that process where people raise their hand and say whether they would run for school board or township supervisor and other types of positions like that. So Now is the time for people to really step up and get engaged and make a difference. And we just find so often that, I've been working for 6 or 7 months to try to find good school board candidates for my school district, and the going is very tough. But we need people, and not just in our school district, but across the state in every locale. And that's what we're trying to do with Faith and Freedom, is to rally people to step up and be good Christian citizens.
That's great. What is the actual timeline, John? If someone wanted to run for school board, what steps do they need to take, and what are the deadlines and so forth?
Yes, we're coming up on that very quickly. The process is that during a time frame from February 17th through March 12th, there's a 3-week window, and during that window, an interested candidate, they need to get a petition from voter services, and you can get that, I believe, right off the internet. But it's a simple petition, just a simple paper form that you need to go and get a minimum of 10 signatures from people in your voting precinct, from the party that you represent for school board. That could obviously, you can actually cross file, but you just get 10 signatures. We recommend 15 or 20, but you get a relative few signatures, and then you get that notarized. You return it to voter services by March 12th, and you are on the ballot. So it's really as simple as that. It's if you have, especially if you're in a family, sometimes your family can give you 3 or 4 of those signatures, right, and then your neighbors. It really only takes a few hours to get the signatures to put your name on the ballot.
This is very important information. I think a lot of people don't know it. This is for school board and township commissioners?
Yes, the same process works for those positions. Typically, for any elected position, you have to get a certain number of signatures. So in some cases, it's as few as 10. In other cases, for high office, like for a county commissioner or something, it may be 100, it may be 250. When you get to the state rep level, it's more than that and so forth. So depending on the level of the position, it's an increasing amount of signatures. But for the local offices that I'm talking about, it typically is only 10 signatures.
And the very narrow timeline of February 17th, which is coming up next week,
next
to
week
March
it begins,
12th.
Yes. Yep,
February
that window
17th
opened.
To March 12th is when this can happen. This is really important information.
Yes.
I really appreciate you sharing it with us. This is something that can make a difference. It can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. It's huge.
So we thank you for sharing this with us. John, was there anything else you would like to share this morning?
Well, just a reinforcement of what I spoke about last time, that the third level, that lower level office, which is absolutely critical, are those committee positions that are the lowest level in a party. It's those committee people who will be attending an endorsement convention within the next week to week and a half that will be vetting and endorsing candidates for the different parties. And it's from those endorsement conventions where people make their way onto primary ballots and ultimately onto the general election. So for those who really want to get engaged and have the most amount of impact on what's happening around them, I would certainly encourage them to learn more about the committee role, how to be engaged in that process. The committee positions open up every even year. So there are no elections for a committee this mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. but I would still encourage people to look at their parties, whether they're Republican or Democrat, and look to see whether there's even a committee person in their area, because there's many times that there can be 10% or more vacancies in the committee role. And if there is a vacancy in your area, you can be appointed to that long before the next election. So there is an opportunity for people to be engaged even now if there is a vacancy in their area.
That's wonderful information. We thank you so much for joining us again today, John. Now, people can get information at your website, which is FF, that stands for Faith and Freedom, FF
Coalition.
dot
FFC.
Oh, I'm sorry.
FFC-PA. And we try to make it as short as possible.
FFC-PA.com.
.com. Yep.
FFC-PA.com. And if you have any questions, you can reach John there. Thank you so much, John. We appreciate talking with you this morning.
Thank you, John. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're very welcome.
Day. Thank you.
All righty. Take
Bye
care.
Now. You too.
Bye-bye.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional